You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
January the 14th, 2020, Iran saying it's going to punish those responsible for shooting down that Ukrainian jetliner. Arrests apparently already made. We don't have any names. Now, I would assume that the Iranian who stepped forward and said, yes, we made a mistake, unforgivable mistake, I assume he's one of the ones to be arrested. But then again, he may say, well, I didn't actually pull the trigger. Someone else will pay the price for that. Oh, by the way, in case you're interested in flying to Iran, Iran is assuring international flyers our skies, quote, are safer than any other time for domestic and foreign flights. You want to fly into Iran? Good luck with that. Hey, did you see the reception for President Trump and the First Lady last night in New Orleans as the football teams of Clemson and LSU came together? The rousing crowd yelling support for President Trump and the First Lady. I mean, it was almost unceasing, continuing to shout approval and welcoming. A far, far cry from the reaction President Trump got when he went to the Washington Nationals ballpark. And what we have in response from some of the Democrats to the leftists, well, all of those folks down there, they're just a bunch of hicks. They're idiots. They're just sold on eating grits and things of that nature, and they don't really understand our real world. They think you are dumb if you support Trump. And, of course, by the way, actor Vince Vaughn was at the game last night. And since he's an LSU grad, he wanted to be there and help out a little bit. And he shook hands with President Trump. And the backlash that Vince Vaughn is now facing is pretty, I would say it's unbelievable. I'll back off from that. It's not unbelievable. It's just distressing, depressing. I'm going to be joined a little bit later. I've got James Herson from California, our Hollywood reporter who walks and talks about the conservatives that exist in Hollywood. I want his input as to how Vince Vaughn has just been basically brutalized by the left simply because he was pleasant to President Trump and shook hands with him. All right, we're moving closer to the impeachment process in the Senate. They're still working it through the House. But once it gets to the Senate, what will be the actual process? We'll break that down for you. And the New York Times is admitting Trump's sanctions on Iran are working. That's not good news for those who want to continue condemning this president and his dealings with Iran. And we've got a survey that says a large percent of Democrat students think the U.S. is not the best country in the world. They think other countries are better. Now, of course, my first response is, well, why don't you move to those countries and see how you like them? And you might have the same response, but I'll have the details for you as to some of these Democrat students, snowflakes in some cases, some just misled, some just following blindly behind the others, and they are willing to say this is not the best nation in the world. By the way, tonight is the final Democrat debate before the caucuses. And, of course, when you look at this debate and being held tonight in Iowa, the race apparently is wide open ahead of the February 3rd caucuses. Vermont Senator Sanders, Senator Warren, Mayor Pete, of course no longer a mayor, and former Vice President Biden, all real shots at victory, they say. And it's also going to include Senator Klobuchar on board. And New York Bloomberg will not qualify yet, but billionaire investor Tom Steyer will. And while we watch this debate, if you bother with it tonight, It's a lily white field. Senator Booker dropped out. And the left, who's been all about inclusivity and representing America, its minorities, its color of people, there will be not one other face on the stage than white faces and a couple of women. So, who are you going to blame? Well, the Trump and Republicans have to blame for that. You're right. Listen, we got a lot to cover for you for the next 2 hours. Let your friends and neighbors know we're on the air. And let your enemies know we're on the air. Like for them to hear some of this stuff. They might actually learn something. In the meantime, you stay right where you are. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Wellington Environmental specializes in making your world safer, finding, removing threats to your health. In one facility, occupants were getting sick, but only in one portion of a building. And Wellington Environmental was asked to investigate and soon found air conditioning units in the rooms only in that side of the building were blowing cold air loaded with mold. The AC units in that part of the building were pulling air from a stagnant pond. Mystery solved, threat resolved. That's just one of many Wellington Environmental stories. And then there's a hospital that was going to have to close because of a water main break until Wellington stepped in to help. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The Constitution specifies for impeachment of a president that you have to demonstrate bribery, treason, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. They haven't done that. In fact, this is the first time in the history of our country any president has been impeached without even so much as an allegation of criminal conduct. They have not alleged in these articles of impeachment the president violated any criminal law. They haven't alleged he violated any civil law. They haven't even alleged the president has a speeding ticket. And for that reason, this doesn't meet the constitutional standard of high crimes and misdemeanors. And so the end of this process will be an acquittal.
That is the statement from Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, saying that the end of all of this will be an acquittal. Could be dismissed from the very beginning, but they're looking at right now that maybe they will go ahead and go through witnesses. We'll get into more of that in a moment as to how the process will actually go. But as he pointed out, they don't even have a speeding ticket, not even a speeding ticket crime against President Trump. And yet they think they can remove him based on abuse of power, whatever that is, not mentioned in the U.S. Constitution, and basically refusing to work obstruction with Congress, I should say. And again, every president has at some point or another obstructed Congress. The difference is Donald Trump. So House Speaker Nancy Pelosi now confirming the vote on the impeachment managers will be held tomorrow. We're thinking it could happen today, but she continues to drag her feet. And here's her statement. The American people deserve the truth. The Constitution demands a trial. That is wrong on both counts. The American people, I'll accept the American people deserve the truth, but they don't want you to know the truth that exists on their side. And she added, the Constitution demands a trial. Not on these cases, it doesn't. But she goes on to say the House will now proceed with a vote on transmitting the articles of impeachment and naming impeachment managers Wednesday, January the 15th. And then said, the president and the senators will be held accountable. Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida said basically everything Nancy's been doing with this is damaging to Democrats.
This is a failed strategy, and it's not that all roads lead back to Putin for President Trump. It's that all roads lead back to Russia for the Democrats in the absence of an agenda that actually works for the American people. You've got these Democrats in Trump districts who feel like they've been walked off the cliff. They were told that this was imminent, this was urgent, this was a clear and present danger. And then even some of the more seasoned Democrats, like Adam Smith, the chairman of the Armed Services Committee, where I serve, telling Nancy Pelosi, let's get on with it. This is starting to look ridiculous. Let's transmit the articles. But it's my suspicion that that will ultimately lead to the least suspenseful trial in all of trials, because we all know that the result will be the president being exonerated because he did nothing wrong.
Nothing wrong. Congressman Matt Gaetz, Republican. Now, the point he made, too, is how this president had done something so dastardly. He was threatening our national security. In other words, we had to rush through this because our national security is at stake. And yet, once they had their vote in the House and took it through the Judiciary Committee and got the vote out of there, got the vote in the House they wanted, with three Democrats saying, I will not support it, they have dragged their feet. I thought it was a pressing event. I thought the president was going to wipe out this country by some action or something. I thought the country was in great peril. But Nancy Pelosi dragging her feet. So, they end up passing these two articles of impeachment against President Trump, abuse of power, and obstruction of Congress. Neither one exists in the U.S. Constitution. Neither one. I'm looking at a piece written by Chris Cillizza, or whatever his name is, of CNN. Nancy's got to recognize what she's doing and how this has been proceeding. She's losing support of even some of the staunch mainstream media that's always there for her. Part of this article was written, he's pointing out that Nancy has been trying to spin her way to victory in the face of her concession. Or Pelosi was being quoted as saying, reference the impeachment articles. I've always said I would send them over, so there shouldn't be any mystery to that. What we did want, what we think we accomplished in the past few weeks, is that we wanted the public to see the need for witnesses with firsthand knowledge of what happened, documentation which the president has prevented from coming to the Congress as we review this. Now, that's what she was saying the other day on an interview with ABC's George Stephanopoulos. And the analyst for CNN is basically saying, Pelosi's been hung out to dry. The leverage she imagined she possessed to get Senate Majority Leader McConnell to accede to her wishes did not exist. McConnell was perfectly happy just waiting for Nancy to hold on to the articles of impeachment, admitting and accepting that these delaying tactics would just look like more Washington funny business to you, the average person, the average American, which I think it does. And again, this Chris Cillizza, or whatever his name is, of CNN analyst, he said McConnell knew that whenever Pelosi decided to send the articles over, he had a majority waiting to open the trial without any promises made on witnesses. And Nancy, again, was insisting that there would be a need for witnesses and things had to be locked down and that she wanted things done before she ever sent them over. I ran this next soundbite yesterday. I want you to hear it again. Not just CNN analysts making that point that Nancy got hung out to dry, but Rachel Bade, who writes for the Washington Post, listen to her thoughts about how Nancy is weak, ineffective, failing.
She's clearly putting a positive spin on what a lot of Democrats have privately said was a failed strategy. I mean, she and Chuck Schumer, the minority leader in the Senate, set out to, number one, try to get a commitment from McConnell on witnesses, firsthand witnesses, to have them testify in a Senate trial. She also said she wanted to see a resolution about, you know, how the whole proceedings would be governed. She got neither of those.
She got neither. Neither. She's exactly where she started when that House passed the impeachment resolution articles. Now, to keep in mind, that does not mean the president's impeached. It simply means the House decided on a partisan basis there was reason to try the president for high crimes and misdemeanors. But they didn't name any high crimes or misdemeanors. They didn't even name a Senator Ted Cruz a speeding ticket. They named abuse of power, which, again, every president has at some point, I guess, filled that category. But exactly what it is, I still don't know and don't understand, and it's not in the Constitution. And the other, obstruction of Congress. Again, every president has at some point obstructed Congress on one point or another. It's not in the Constitution for an impeachment charge. So again, Speaker Pelosi today in their Democrat caucus meeting still stalling, not announcing which lawmakers will be tapped as impeachment managers who will serve as prosecutors of the case, saying that tomorrow we'll give you more. She just keeps dragging it on. I think I go back to the remarks of Congressman Gates a moment ago. This will be the least climactic trial you've ever seen in history. This will outdo a Perry Mason. Perry Mason, you always knew he was going to win. You always knew that the final witness or someone in the jury or someone in the courtroom would suddenly break down and cry and confess, I did it. I mean, you always knew it was going to end that way. Perry Mason was never going to lose a case. So this moving forward, we know what the result's going to be. But let's take a look at exactly how it will unfold. Senator Ted Cruz, an attorney, who, of course, has practiced before the U.S. Supreme Court numerous times and serving as a U.S. Senator from Texas, lays out exactly how this will proceed step by step in the Senate.
I think the Senate has decided, rather than starting with dismissal, what we're going to do is we're going to allow both sides to present their cases. And so the order of proceeding is going to be the exact same way the Senate proceeded with the Clinton impeachment trial. In other words, it'll start with opening argument from the House managers, and we'll give them a full and fair opportunity to present their case. Then it'll move to opening arguments from the White House defense team. And unlike how House Democrats did it, we're going to give the president a full and fair opportunity to present his case to defend himself. We will then move to the question, to questions from senators. And the way that'll work is they won't be orally. Instead, senators have to write down our questions. We submit our questions in writing, and the Chief Justice will ask the questions for us. It's at that point, then, that I think the debates will happen about whether or not to dismiss the case or to vote to final verdict then, or whether to take up witnesses. And I expect a contentious debate and decision probably about 2 weeks from now.
And about 2 weeks from now. Now, let me break down some of what Senator Cruz was talking about. First of all, he says he thinks the direction at this point is that they are going to have witnesses and hear things out. Now, this is contrary to what President Trump has said he wanted. In fact, just yesterday, Sunday, he tweeted out, many believe that by the Senate giving credence to a trial based on the no evidence, no crime, read the transcripts, no pressure impeachment hoax, rather than outright dismissal, it gives the partisan Democrat witch hunt credibility that it otherwise does not have. And the White House press secretary yesterday doubled down on the president's suggestion, saying, I think the president's communicating there should be a dismissal because he did nothing wrong. Well, again, Senator Ted Cruz, despite the president's wish and suggestion, appears to be arguing the president will be acquitted and they would rather see this go through a, quote, trial so the Senate can come to a verdict of not guilty, which he said would be a more positive resolution for the president. So the way he sees this going is by actually running it as a trial and not simply dismissing it and simply saying, you have met no threshold for high crimes and misdemeanors as defined in the U.S. Constitution, so we're kicking it out right now. Senator Cruz is suggesting that we really want a final result in this, that he thinks it will work better for the president. What would be the final result, Senator Cruz?
I think at the end of this process, these articles of impeachment are going to be thrown out. And I think it's going to end not with a dismissal, but with a verdict of not guilty. And the way it works in the Senate, when you come to vote on verdict, you vote on each article, and each senator will vote either guilty or not guilty. And the reason why this ends with an acquittal is very simple. The House hasn't met the constitutional threshold.
Absolutely. And for that reason, again, they could just flat kick it out. But Senator Cruz is saying, I think we should go ahead and go through it, let the public see the process. And I hear what he's saying in the sense that many would say if you don't even deal with it, you just kick it away, well, then you're covering up. You're not doing the right thing. Now, if we're going to have witnesses called, if we're going to bring some in, who do you think should be on that list? There is one person in particular that should be appearing in front of the U.S. Senate as they address this bag of tricks from the Democrats. That one person that should be in front of the U.S. Senate, I'll tell you about that when we continue.
Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton sponsors this segment. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. I'll see you at Red Fitness Lounge. Get details at redfitnesslounge.com. redfitnesslounge.com.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog. You cry all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So once again, once Nancy finally gets around to sending over the impeachment articles to the Senate and names her managers for the House, the ones who would be considered the prosecutors presenting the case for the House, the trial of the president in the Senate does not begin right away. They would take 3 to 4 days of, quote, pre-trial preparations. And part of that would include swearing in of the senators and U.S. Chief Justice John Roberts. Yes, the Supreme Court Chief Justice will serve as presiding judge over the, quote, trial. He does not cast a deciding ballot in case they happen to go 50-50, which isn't going to happen. And he can be overruled by a vote among the senators on anything he decides. But he basically is overseeing it. And, of course, we'll have briefings from the House managers and then Trump's legal team, which we are told that the White House counsel will take the lead on the president's defense team and that the Trump lawyer, Jay Sokolow, will also be available. And others, they'll be coming and going as they need. And if they're going to call witnesses, Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio says, you know what, there is one guy we got to make sure we put in front of this Senate, quote, trial. The words of Congressman Jordan.
If they go to witnesses, you're going to have both sides. And we would love to hear from the whistleblower. Remember, 435 members of the House. Only one member, Adam Schiff, only one member knows who the whistleblower is. Only one member staff got to talk to the whistleblower. And yet that's the individual who's put our country through 4 months of this. So if you're going to have witnesses, you're going to have to open it up for both sides and have a real fair process at that point. But again, I hope this thing gets acquitted and gets dismissed right from the get-go. We'll see how that all plays out.
Well, again, Congressman Jordan, as you heard from Senator Ted Cruz earlier, that he sees we're moving forward and we will be calling witnesses. And Congressman Jordan made a point that if we're going to have witnesses, we are going to have both sides. Contrary to what we had in the House, both sides. They didn't have both sides during the House presentation. They had hack jobs all lined up to go after the president. The closest they came to is when they brought in legal scholars to talk about the impeachment process and what is qualifying for impeachment. And three of the four lawyers brought in all said, oh, yeah, you can impeach him on, you know, if you don't like his soup, if you think his tie is crooked. I mean, they were basically saying anything. Get him for his tweets. You don't like his tweets. You don't like him in general. Whatever. And one of them made it clear that no, none of these charges reach a threshold of high crimes and misdemeanors. But that's the way it was handled in the House. In the Senate, if Senator Cruz is right that they're going to go ahead, that they're looking forward to moving forward with this, and they're going to follow the same pattern that was followed with the Bill Clinton case, there will be witnesses, and you and I are definitely with Congressman Jordan. I want to hear from that whistleblower that started all this and put this country into this mess. I don't think the Democrats want that person to come forward, and they don't want questions asked as to what Democrats knew about him in advance. They'd rather keep that silent. The pressure that President Trump is putting on Iran, the sanctions, even the New York Times is admitting the pressure sanctions are working. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, of course, once President Trump pulled the U.S. out of that Iran mock nuclear deal, signed off on and shoved down our throat by Obama as part of his legacy, we immediately started imposing new sanctions on Iran, and we've continued. New sanctions announced just last week after we had them attacking our troops by firing rockets into Iraq. We imposed new sanctions on Iranian steel and other metals, sanctioning also 8 senior Iranian officials involved in that strike. All of it is a commitment to stop the Iran regime's global terrorist activities, and that the sanctions, quote, will be in effect until Iran stops its terrorist activities and commits to never having a nuclear weapon. The president has said they are not going to have one. We'll make sure they don't. The New York Times, not exactly a big supporter of President Trump, had an analysis piece published yesterday. And it says in the title, Iran's grim economy limits its willingness to confront the U.S. And basically noting the one reason we have successfully stared down the Iranian regime last week was because of President Trump's renewed economic sanctions, making the cost of war too high for Iran to bear. The actual copy reading, crippling sanctions imposed by the Trump administration have severed Iran's access to international markets, decimating the economy, which is now contracting at an alarming 9.5% annual rate. the International Monetary Fund estimated. Oil exports effectively zero in December, according to Oxford Economics. The sanctions preventing sales, even though smugglers have tried to move oil from place to place. And at last report, it's not mentioned in this Times article, China was also engaging in some of that smuggling of the oil, but we made it clear to China, we'll put sanctions on you as well. The article in the New York Times continues, the bleak economy appears to be tempering the willingness of Iran to escalate hostilities with U.S. Its leaders cognizant that war could profoundly worsen national fortunes. In recent months, public anger over joblessness, economic anxiety, and corruption have emerged as a potentially existential threat, to Iran's hardline regime. We've seen that. We've seen the folks of the street taking their lives into their hands when they go out and face Iranian troops who sometimes are just firing tear gas, sometimes firing rubber bullets, but often also firing live ammunition, something like 1,500 killed over the last few weeks while they're protesting in the streets. The attitude of the U.S. has been, we're not trying for a regime change. That's up to the people of Iran. If they want to change, they have to have that happen. We're not interested in that. We are interested in an Iranian change of behavior, which means quit pursuing nuclear weapons. You want to become part of the world economy again? You want sanctions to ease up? You got to step forward and do so. And, of course, we've had in this country those working against the president in trying to keep this pressure on Iran. That was the whole idea behind that War Powers Resolution passed the other day by the House, which is basically meaningless, has no power, no punch. Now, the War Powers Resolution of 1973, or the War Powers Act, is a federal law intended to check the U.S. president's power to commit the U.S. to an armed conflict without consent of the U.S. Congress. It is a fact. Congress is the only one that can declare war. But the War Powers Resolution requiring the president to notify Congress within 48 hours of committing armed forces to military action, forbidding armed forces from remaining for more than 60 days with an additional 30-day withdrawal period. This War Powers Resolution that the Democrats pushed through the other day basically was to limit the president's military action. And it passed 224-194, mostly along party lines. Some defectors, 8 Democrats voted against the measure, 3 Republicans voting in favor of it. That would include independent Republican Representative Justin Amash, who left the Republican Party a year ago. But Senator Lindsey Graham is one of the ones who said that the War Powers Act is being produced, and this resolution is being produced by Nancy Pelosi and the gang, falls short and is blatantly unconstitutional.
I've been a military lawyer for over 30 years. I just retired in 2015. The Congress has the power to declare war. That doesn't mean that the commander-in-chief can't use military force to protect the country without Congress. So we've declared war less than 10 times in the history of the country, but we've had military engagements hundreds of times. What President did is he took out Soleimani, right, who was planning another attack against American forces in Iraq who are lawfully present. He has all the authority he needs to protect troops in the field. This was a defensive preemptive attack. The War Powers Act is blatantly unconstitutional. You cannot have 535 commander-in-chiefs.
Perfect point. You cannot have 535 commanders-in-chief. 435 in the House, 100 in the Senate. You can't have that kind of commander-in-chief approach. One guy. Be it Obama when he was in office or be it Trump now. One guy. And Obama also violated what they say Trump is violating. He did the same thing. But, of course, it was Obama. And Democrat-controlled House and so forth at the time, they just weren't going to make a big deal out of it. Now, I mentioned some of the lawmakers who went against their parties on the vote to limit the president's war powers. Among those voting against increasing the war power and putting more pressure upon President Trump was New York Congressman Max Rose. He had criticized the measure, quote, as a non-binding resolution that simply restates existing law and sends the message that war is imminent. Max Rose is an Army vet who earned a Bronze Star and a Purple Heart in Afghanistan, and his statement says everything. I refuse to play politics with questions of war and peace. Wish the others had bought into that. Now, one of those that voted in favor of the resolution was a staunch conservative. You heard from him earlier in the previous segment. Congressman Matt Gaetz of Florida, he said he worked hard to remove any reference to the Soleimani attack from the resolution, but he opposed going to war with Iran without congressional approval. And he basically said, I ended up voting for it because I think we got to have it reinforced, but he did not want any reference that attacking and killing and taking out Soleimani was a violation. He said he discussed it with the President Vance, said the President went along with him. Senator Lindsey Graham said when it came to Rand Paul, who was one of those on the Republican side who voted with the Democrats, he said both Rand Paul and also Mike Lee, who opposed the drone strike that killed Soleimani earlier, Graham said, I like them both, and if I had an eye problem, I would call Rand Paul. Rand Paul's an ophthalmologist. He's a great eye doctor, but I would not ask him for commander-in-chief advice. And Mike Lee's a great guy, but all I can tell you is I wouldn't ask him that either. And Senator Graham says, I don't waver on these points.
I said this when Obama was president. I said it when Clinton was president. If you don't like what the commander-in-chief is doing as a member of Congress, cut off funding. We have the power of the purse, but we cannot make military decisions.
Perfect. Perfect point. Yeah, the power of the purse cannot make military decisions. And he said, I did the same thing with Obama. I'm consistent. You don't find consistency among the Democrats. What you find is hypocrisy. By the way, tonight is the last Democrat debate before the Iowa caucus. And when you look at the stage, as I pointed out earlier, you're not going to find any person of color, Senator Cory Booker dropping out the other day. And because of the way the rules have been set up, you're going to include the top four being best positioned to win Iowa. That would be former Vice President Biden, former South Bend Mayor Buttigieg, Senator Sanders and Warren, and two remaining wild cards, Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar and businessman Tom Steyer. He spent more than $100 million on advertising. Bloomberg spent more than that, but he's not going to be on the debate stage. And some are pointing out that this debate, in some cases, according to surveys, that the candidates on the stage tonight, they would like to have full-throat support from Democrats going into these caucuses next month in Iowa, but if not at least full-throat support and number one, at least keep them as number two. Recent polls showing 30% of Iowa Democrat caucus goers appear to support a candidate who is unlikely to be above the threshold for winning delegates. In other words, 30% more than support of any of the top four candidates will end up caucusing for their second choice. That's interesting strategy. They all want to be number one, but they right now going into Iowa and the caucus are saying focusing on second has to be a strategy. And it certainly does for the moderates on stage. That would include Buttigieg, Klobuchar, and Sanders and Warren, and liberals they are. They got to look at that. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, wait till you hear where the president is now deporting illegal immigrants. Not going to be so easy for them to get back. Plus, Democrats who believe this is not a great country. Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
When it's cold outside, I've got the
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
So the Trump administration, working with the Mexican government, is making sure that those we deport don't come back right away. At least we're doing the best we can. And Mexico is in support of this plan. Now, we have had an easing of the illegal crossing from those from Mexico and, of course, the other nations to the south, Guadalajara. But from other countries, Guatemala, El Salvador, Honduras. So what we're going to be doing, according to the Department of Homeland Security, we're going to start running flights from Tucson, Arizona, two flights a week starting at the end of January, returning 250 migrants per week, and we're going to put them deep, deep, deep into Mexico. We're not just going to push them across the border and say, go south, don't come back north, because it's going to be easy for repeat offenders to try to come right back again. Now, we're putting them down in Guadalajara, Mexico. Guadalajara. You know how far away that is from the U.S.? 1,400 miles. Good. The deeper they're sent, the less likely they're going to try to come back, start all over again. And the Mexican government, again, is in support of this. We've had a dramatic drop in apprehensions at the border, mainly because Mexico has been helping and doing its job, which President Trump had said, if you don't step up and stop some of these coming from Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras, all the way across your country to our border and crossing, you're going to face some stiff penalties from us, tariffs. And the same thing if you don't stop your Mexican citizens from coming across illegally. So Mexico has put its own troops along the border, making sure, or at least trying to minimize, those who get through and get to our border and cross over. And now agreeing, yep, go ahead and send them all the way back down to Guadalajara, 1,400 miles away. Hey, there's a new survey out that found 47% of young Democrats believe there are other countries better than the U.S. Oh, man, I would love to take all 47% of them and drop them in Iran. Let's start there. You think that's a better country? Well, maybe not that one. How about Mexico? You don't go to Mexico? Not really, not to live, but I mean, where would they pick out as better? Now, among Democrats and Democrat-leaning independents under the age of 30, nearly half, 47%, said there are other countries that are better than the U.S. If you look at Democrats age 50 and over, only 20% of Democrats say that. They're older, they're wiser, and they realize you got to be stupid to think that this country is not the best in the world. All the people are trying to get into this country. Anyone, anywhere in the world, if they had a choice to move somewhere, if they wanted to get out of the country, if they wanted to leave France or England, it would be the U.S., maybe Canada, but generally the U.S. And here's another point. This survey found that many of these same young Americans admit they would not mind other countries becoming as powerful in its military as we are. Do they not recognize a threat that would come with that? If another country in the world could be as powerful as our military, what we could be facing, and in fact what they could be facing, 18 to 29, maybe we'd start the draft up again. I wonder what they'd think about that then. Oh, I wish I had not voted in favor of another country having the same military strength. Now, there is another nugget inside this survey. It's not a good one. Young Republicans and Republican-leaning independents, there are those that also believe the U.S. is not the best country. Yeah, 47% of young Democrats had that attitude. 19% of those I just listed as young Republicans and Republican-leaning independents, 19% under the age of 30, agree with their Democrat counterparts. And yet they call themselves Republicans, or leaning Republican. We have the greatest country in the world. We have a country where everyone wants to come here, legally or illegally. And right now, with what President Trump is doing and our economy clicking along like it is, there will be more wanting to come. And we may well open up more legal immigration to help cover some of the jobs, because we have more jobs right now in this country than we have people looking. But to believe that there's another country better than this one? In the meantime, we do have some activities inside this nation. Some laws being passed in blue states and cities and counties that would make living in the U.S. more dangerous. We're going to get into that in the next hour. Also, James Herson will join me from Hollywood, and the reaction, the backlash, simply because actor Vince Vaughn stepped forward last night, huddled with President Trump, smiling and even shaking his hand. And the left attitude is, how dare he? That's coming up in the next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.